Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're going through this devotional called Windows on God's World by Dr. Tucker, and today we're talking about city monkeys. City monkeys is the title of it. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it. Genesis 18:20-21. In India, some of the monkeys that normally would live in the forest have adopted a completely new way of life. Instead of living in treetops, they live on housetops and around the buildings of towns, villages, and cities. These city monkeys have learned to eat processed human food, while the forest monkeys eat the natural fruits and leaves found in their environment. A behavioral scientist who wanted to determine how deeply ingrained these dietary differences were offered natural food and cooked food to both city monkeys and forest-dwelling monkeys. The results showed that the town monkeys were completely adapted to their city life, for they chose bread, roasted peanuts, and even spiced foods from the selection they were presented. The monkeys from the forest refused the processed foods in favor of the fresh fruit and raw vegetables. You might think that these town monkeys would rather go back to the forest where food is abundant, but whenever they are captured and released in the jungles, they almost always hurry back to the city. God originally placed humankind in a garden, and throughout history, when man has departed from his way, the first thing he did was build a city. This is what Cain's children did. It is what happened after the flood, and it was the motivation that caused Lot to leave Abraham in the hills of Palestine and go live in the city, and eventually led to his ruin. Ooh, well, there's lots of analogous meaning in that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to be focused on you, to cleave to you, and to think of only those thoughts you would have us think of. We pray for our baby Carmen. We pray for Alicia, who's just experienced a divorce and is trying to figure out how to educate her children. We pray for the family that has lost their jobs. Just provide, Lord. In the meantime, you've commanded that we rejoice always. So help us to rejoice. And we thank you, Lord, for this show. May it be a blessing to others, to the families that listen. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, today we're going to make a very simple paper bag monkey. And I put it there on my Pinterest site, MR Gamblin 2. On the board, Windows on God's World. So I try to have the craft match the devotion. And you'll need a lunch bag. You'll need some small paper plates. You can use googly eyes if you have them. If not, white construction paper with black makes wonderful eyes. And then maybe some pinkish or whitish, tannish color. You'll see it there. You make the monkey face, and you make it so his mouth opens up with the end of the bag. It's very fun. And now I'm going to transition into the curriculum corner, because I'm going to show or talk to you about ways that you can integrate your arts and crafts. So we made the monkey. The inspiration was from City Monkeys. And you can have your kids do a research project on city monkeys. That would be interesting to see how that happened. And the older kids particularly might find it fun to research it. You can also use it as a springboard for your journaling. So this week, the journaling might be about the adventures of a city monkey. And every day your students would write about a city monkey. And I know I've talked to you before about actually teaching them about free flow writing, where they write for so many minutes and don't make it too long, but they write uninterrupted, totally quiet for at least 4 or 5 minutes about the adventures of their city monkey. They can write it in script form, and then the monkeys can talk, even though we don't encourage animals talking. We know they don't speak English, but for the point of the, you know, the creative writing, for the point of thinking about how you use dialogue, that would be a great way to do it. They could even write it in script form, and each person is, you know, take a little, you know, each person take a different character. So as different as your paper bag monkeys will look, that's how different your characters will be. So as you work on your curriculum and you connect things together, you will see your children take something and run with it. They're engaged. Don't just stop them because now we've got to do math. You know, when you see your students really engaged, it's wonderful to have the flexibility to say, okay, we're going to spend a little more time doing this. And that's perfectly appropriate. Remember, curriculum is not a book or a video series, but it's a path that you make. Questions parents ask. So this question comes from Tabitha. I'm new to homeschooling and I'm going to be starting in the fall. I want to make sure I get everything sorted out way in advance. I have 4 little ones. My 7-year-old just finished first grade. My 5-year-old just finished pre-K. And then I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I'm trying to find a curriculum that has everything I will need for all of them in one place because I'm feeling very overwhelmed. Well, I would feel very overwhelmed too. I would not worry about a curriculum per se for your 3-year-old and your 1-year-old. They need to still be playing. Playing is their curriculum. So your toys become their curriculum. And your first grade going into second grade, that's pretty standard. And your 5-year-old just finishing pre-K, people don't realize there's such a huge difference between pre-K and K and second grade. So finding something all in one is great for things like social studies, science. You can do that with your kindergartner and your 5-year-old and your 7-year-old. And you can do history. Just you have expectations different for your 5-year-old than you do your 7-year-old. But your 3-year-old and your 1-year-old, they should just be having fun. They can join in when they want to, and they don't have to join in. It should be very unstructured for them. Playing is their job, as it should be all of our jobs, right? I love it when my job feels like I'm playing, and praying too. So remember, curriculum is not a book or a video series, but it's a path that you make. And so part of that will include lots of playtime for your 3-year-old and your 1-year-old, and mommy time and loving on them time. Okay, I have time for one more question here. This is a good question. It says, I want to love God and Jesus with all my heart, and I know He is my friend. But how do you get to know and love someone you don't see and have never met and who doesn't talk to you? It feels like a one-side conversation. How can I teach my children if I don't know Him myself? Well, you know, as a young person, I would go to camp meeting and hear all these fantastic stories where someone was a drug user and in a life of sin and then was converted and had a newness of life. They just had this fantastic experience. And I didn't have that. I wanted it. So I would give myself to the Lord over and over and over again. I'd go up for altar calls over and over again. I got baptized. I just wanted to know the Lord. And it just, for me, it just took time. I wanted Him. He was there all of the time. He was there for me, but I wasn't sure about His voice in my life. And only as I really read scripture, listened to scripture, immersed myself in scripture, and matured, did I begin to hear that still small voice and to see God in the face of a child and to see God in the pets that we have and to see God in nature, you know, taking walks and just listening to that still small voice. It's often difficult when you don't have that concrete thing. Many of us are concrete learners, but God has given us this fantastic ability to imagine, and you need to develop your imagination and imagine God talking to you through the love of your pets, through the love of your children. When you look at your child, you can see God's work, because you love that child so unconditionally, and God loves you even more than that. And so you have to just keep focusing, because you will have, you know, it's almost like a war of the minds. You have Satan there telling you that God doesn't care and that you can't hear him, so therefore, is he real? You have that in all different shapes and forms. So your main job is already done, because you have said, I want to love God and I want to love Jesus with all of my heart and know that he is my best friend. And you will have earth-shattering experiences as you go on in life. I wish I could say that you won't, but you will. And often when you are at that cliff, so to speak, you know God, you know you are only being sustained by a supernatural power, and that power is God. You know, as you give your life to him morning and night, and as you make every breath a prayer, and as you work with that child trying to understand a concept, and as you pray over it with your children, you will see God's work miraculously in your life, of finances, as you pay your tithe and as you give, you know, seeds of money to ministry, and then see that God has blessed you that much more, you'll go, wow, you know, every promise he's given is come true in my life. He's opened up this storehouse that I do not have enough room to receive it. God is good. He loves that question. You've already done the big part, and that is you want to love God and Jesus with all of your heart. Well, we have to go to break. I know I've talked too long already, but what an important question. And I hope that you'll stay tuned for the second half of the interview with Barbara Rattery about her beehive ministry. For those who are into bees, this is really great. So we'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. Please join us. You can go to the website, www.thebeehivehaiti.org. It's all spelled out. And I'm talking with Barbara Rattery, and we've just been talking about her organization, Beehive International, investing in the saving hope for Haiti. And how many years have you been there?
Eight years. A true commitment. And like I said, I've only been involved for 4.5. I try to go twice a year if I can get people to fund me, which I've been very fortunate. I've had people in my church fund me. Then I'm able to go more often than that. So, and I stay focused on one ministry instead of multiples, because I'm able to look at today, yesterday, and what tomorrow can possibly bring.
And the Beehive is a multifaceted ministry in itself.
Yes.
So it began by making furniture from pallets, which it still continues to do.
Yes.
It has now obtained land, and you've built a school.
And we also have an orphanage.
An orphanage.
That we support.
Okay.
We provide the water. We have a church that has started providing the food for them. We did up until about 2 years ago. And we provide the water, the food, the medical care. Loma Linda has school, I think it's their physical therapy school, has been remarkable over the last 5 years. Every year they come and they take on a project at Mexney's Orphanage. So they now have a kitchen, they have rooms, they have windows, they have screens up, they have doors, they have bathrooms. It's really a little house.
Yes, and has a lot of it been made with pallet wood?
No, the only thing made out of the pallet wood is about 2 years ago I had the woodworking shop make these wonderful tables, so the children, picnic tables, so the children would not sit on the floor to eat, but to actually have a table like a family would sit at. And, you know, that table was set up for 2 minutes, and there is not one child you had to tell what to do. They were at it. I had Legos. Those Legos were out on the table. Their snacks were on the table. They knew exactly what they were, what this table was intended for. And it's probably the largest picnic table that the pallet shop has ever made. I believe it was 11 feet long.
11 feet long. That is a true banquet table.
Isn't that special?
It is. And we take so much for granted.
Yes.
Our kids take so much for granted. Those kids probably thought that was the most special, delightful thing, to have a table.
Yeah.
Just to have a table.
And with benches.
With benches. You know, that just cheers your heart.
Oh, every time I look at them eating or doing something, I just think, it took so little from me to do so much for so many.
Yeah.
What a blessing. So I feel even more blessed than the children.
Yes, and I'm sure you've grown attached to different individuals there. Can you share with us one of your stories?
Yes, I have a wonderful Haitian woman in Bohawk who is one of our cooks. Her name is Fallon. They call her Madam Pastor, because her husband is a preacher.
Okay.
And she had a little girl 9 months ago, and I am the godmother.
Oh, how neat.
So I have a little Phoebe, my little Haitian Phoebe. So one person I'm very attached to. Another one is Adina. She has been with the Beehive for quite a while. And then we have two Samuels. We have Samuel 1, who is just a gorgeous young man spiritually. He's such a good, good Christian person. And my second one, of course, is Samuel 2. And I love him because he takes care of my real passion in Bohawk, the Rottweilers.
Oh.
So they're my babies. And
now, how many of them do
two.
You have two? And how did they get to Haiti?
Jonathan bought them.
Okay.
In Haiti. So he started off with Pico. All of our animals are named after food. Our donkey is rice and beans. Pico is Pico de Gallo. And the female is Miso.
So when do you go back to Haiti?
I wanted to go back in November, but one of my dear friends is going through chemo right now.
Yes.
So I'm going to push it back until the spring, when she'll be able to be back in Atlanta and help me pack. It's a lot to pack. I do all the cooking for everybody prior to the trip. And Delta has been so good. They let me take dry ice.
Really?
So I am able to fly in with vegetables and fruits, and I make all kinds of marinaras and different types of foods that take long time.
Yeah.
And I'm able to just thaw them and be able to feed our staff just so effortlessly.
So when you're making a trip like that, it sounds like you're taking a group of people with you.
I am. I took.
So who are you taking this time?
Oh, so listen to this. You know, you never know whose ears your love falls upon. So I have had a little boy in my church, several of them, that have actually been my missionary supporters. And the one started out, he was 6 years old when he began to listen to me. He announced to his parents at 8 that he would travel to Haiti on mission work with Miss Barbara. And they said, no, you're too little. You have to wait till you're 10. Well, of course, by 10, he's going to forget. Now, at 10, he announced he had saved enough money for his airfare.
Wow.
And he did a YouTube video asking for funds because he has to have money to go to Haiti because he has to be able to buy soccer balls and do things for VBS and everything else. He went with me this year. We're sitting on the porch after devotion, and I said, tell me, Carter, would you do this trip ever again with Miss Barbara? And he said, are you kidding? Do you know this is way better than Disney?
Amen.
So he's going with me in the spring, I hope. And I had my pastor's son on this trip. The very first mission trip Jonathan ever went on, he went with my pastor. My pastor was the leader of that trip. So here we are, the coins have turned.
Yeah.
And I am taking his 16-year-old son.
Praise God.
And these children were just incredible. There was not one tear, not one complaint, not one moment that they were not joyful givers of their hearts.
Oh, praise God. It cheers my heart, and I know it cheers my listeners to think of young people giving at a young age, committing to mission service, seeing the bigger picture, not just focused on themselves. You know, we have such a struggle with our young people because, well, there's just all this technology and entertainment that they think they need to be entertained 24/7. But these stories of these young people that are coming out and already exhibiting the ability to minister to others, that just cheers everyone's heart.
I mean,
heart.
It gives me goosebumps when I think about it. And when I first began talking about the work in Haiti, the children, no water, having to walk so far, sometimes children going for days without food, I thought it was on deaf ears.
Yeah.
I had no idea that those little people actually could hear. When Jonathan was home, I said, told the kids, I said, we're going to have lunch with Jonathan. And they all stop and they go, hey, we're going to have lunch with a real live missionary.
Oh, thank you so much for spending this time with us. We're running to the end of our show, but we've been talking to Barbara Rattery about her passion, which is called Beehive International. And you can go to the website, thebeehivehaiti.org, and learn so much more than what we've had time to talk about today. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. So please come back tomorrow. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.